prophet Amos said this, chapter 3. Amos was in the Old Testament, last time I looked in here. Oh, there it is. Amos chapter 3. Listen to these words. Chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, and these are words to ancient Israel that apply to all days with all men of all generations. These are the words. Amos chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets. A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? So I look at this and I think, okay, He's not going to do anything unless He tells it through the prophets first. We have the prophetic word. We can look at His word and we have a really good idea of the direction that things are going. And tonight I believe we're even going to see why certain things are going the way that they are. And who, as He says, who can but prophesy? So I look at this, this is me, I think, who can but talk about the things that we are looking at. So we look at our current world, and there are a lot of things that are going on that have people in a place of fear and anxiety. There's a lot that's going on that causes me to believe that the return of the Lord is very, 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 very close. With that, there's a lot to talk about. And we're going to get to the nation of Israel in a few minutes, but I decided there's too much going on in our own nation right now to ignore. So what I'm going to do is divide it, and it's going to be about America, because what's going on here right now does affect the world, and it affects Israel. So that'll be part one. We're going to look at America, and part two, we're going to look at Israel. So y'all ready? Okay. Number one, first thing. What is happening in America and why does it matter? Well, let me put it into perspective for you and consider this. H.G. Wells, that author from years past, looked forward to a time when a one-world government would rule. In 1936, Wells forecast a world brain that was something like the internet that we currently have. And on this, Wells believed that in the future, every person would have an identity number, and the world brain would know all the basic facts about that individual. Now, he wasn't giving that from a biblical perspective. H.G. Wells was looking at the utopian world that he wanted, and he thought, aha, what this world needs is a world brain. What this world needs is everybody to have an ID number in order to bring about a utopian society. Plus, in his forecasting, he envisioned a special squad of elites to solve all problems. We live in a world right now that has elites that are doing all they can to dictate how this world is going to function. He also believed that the elites would have access to the world brain database. He believed that these elites would take on the job of rewriting the human mind. So I look at this in light of current technology. And you hear about artificial intelligence and the mind being taken over by machines. You read about those things in the news now, and there are scientists and some of the elites that are out there. They're saying we are very, very, very close to this actually coming about. We already know that there's a massive, massive databases, plural. All of our information is stored. We know that there's a tracking system that's already there. So everything that he envisioned with this utopian world, excuse me, everything is in place. And the Bible told us that in the last days that these things would be. Revelation chapter 13, the mark of the beast, the database that's necessary, the one world government or the new world order. All of those things were prophesied so many years ago when John wrote about those things on the island of Patmos back around 90 A.D., and there are many people that look forward to this utopian world, a world without God, a world that man can bring about his utopian world and really essentially say to himself, well, look, we don't need you, God. We've created the perfect world. The world you created is a mess, but we fixed it all. Hence, in Psalm chapter 2, the Bible talks about that men will rage against God, but God will hold them in derision. So look at this, and I want to consider America and why things are going the way that they are. So consider the background, H.G. Wells, as he hoped, and what the Bible says is going to take place, Revelation chapter 13. Consider what's coming is a new world order. So let's look at America with this backdrop. Think about some of the news. Donald Trump was getting ready to head to the Mideast. He's there now. He visited with the king of Saudi Arabia the other day. But here, Trump travel planners tell Israel the Western Wall is not yours. Why they inserted a picture of Barack Obama in there, I don't know. But his picture's in there. But I find that interesting. So I'm reading all about this. Why would Trump's team go ahead and say the Western Wall doesn't belong to the Jews, or the Wailing Wall? That's the holiest site in all of Judaism. You know that? Some of you have visited the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall. So it turns out, it sounds like it's some of the people from the former administration, from President Obama, that were over there and had said these things. So the Trump administration says, no, that's not really true. We don't really believe that. Hence, we also have this appearing. These are on Israeli news sites, by the way. Harsh exchange between Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, teams days ahead of key Israel visit. So from last I've read, is Trump is going to visit the Wailing Wall, but he doesn't want Netanyahu with him at the Wailing Wall. And at the same time, I've also heard Netanyahu doesn't want to be with Trump at the Wailing Wall. There's various reasons for that. The reason that makes the most sense is, look, this is going to cause more problems for any kind of peace plan and so forth. But I don't really know yet, because there's a lot of news out there that I'm just not really sure what the motives are behind a lot of these things. But this is out there, right? Now listen to this one. This is from Debka File. Trump bared Israel's interception skills to Lavrov. I remember the other day when Donald Trump was accused of leaking sensitive information to Russia, and he's in collusion with Russia and all that. Okay, now this is something we haven't heard in U.S. news yet, and I do not know why. This is reported May 16th, which was last Tuesday. Now listen to this. Out of Debka, it says the sensitive intelligence U.S. President Donald Trump was accused by U.S. media of leaking to the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and Ambassador Sergei Kislyak on May 10 came from Israel, which is the unnamed American partner cited. Now, this hasn't been in any U.S. news sources. Listen to this. Debka files military and intelligence sources reveal that the classified information concerned Israel's capabilities for intercepting operational communications and signals. This branch is one of the most sensitive and secret in the field of military intelligence. Possession of this advanced capability makes it possible to monitor the most clandestine military operations without leaving any clue to the tracker. This interception technology is also capable of seriously disrupting the military operations of an enemy. Until President Trump shared this information with Lavrov, the Russian military and intelligence services were not aware that Israel possessed this intelligence technology or that it was operational. Neither were the Russians aware that Israel had let the Americans know about it. Wow, this is crazy. Then he goes on and says this in the article, in the Debka article, the author does. Israel officials judge the exposure of the secret technology as seriously damaging to Israel, the United States, and the war on terror, an intelligence source commented Tuesday night. Many years of hard work have gone down the drain. None of that is anything we've heard in U.S. news, but it's interesting. The hard part is now, is that even fake news? In all seriousness, we don't know. Did Debka come up with a story that they went with? I don't know. But if it's true, did Trump give that sensitive information over to the Russians? But still, what's kind of mind-boggling to me is the U.S. media and the European media doesn't really care about anything with Israel. It's just finding some kind of fault between Russia and Donald Trump. So let's move on from there, and we're going to get to some more assessments in a few minutes. This is out. A breaking mass nationwide anti-Trump riots are planned for July 2nd. How many of you have heard of the group Antifa? Yeah, it's an anti-fascist group is what they call them when they themselves are the fascists. But nevertheless, it's a group of radicals and anarchists that have been paid to riot and paid to cause all kinds of trouble out there. So we are watching all of these riots take place. From the moment that Donald Trump became the president of the United States, we saw what happened with the Women's March in Washington, and things have not slowed down. They've actually progressed. But why have things progressed? progressed. We look at this. Russia, Comey, and Trump, your weekend briefing everywhere. Russia, Comey, and Trump. Is it not the case? So why is this such a big deal? Then there's this. This has come out. I don't know if it's true, but this article says Soros could crash the U.S. dollar by pushing Trump impeachment. Is Soros one of the elites that Revelation chapter 17 talks about, that H.G. Wells was hoping the elite would control things, including the world brain, and everybody would have an identification number? And then there's this article, Deep State, a mainstream media pushes a coup against Trump. So with all of these thoughts in mind, I want you to consider this, all right? For many years, I would say even decades, Bible prophecy teachers, myself included, but you go back way before me, Hal Lindsey and people way before Hal Lindsey were saying, in order for the New World Order to come about, in order for what needs to happen, a revived Roman Empire to come about, the United States of America must decrease. America must cease to be the powerful country that it is. America cannot be a place of free speech as we currently know it. America cannot be the most powerful nation on earth. America must cede to Europe. For Bible prophecy to reach its climactic fulfillment as described in the Old Testament and in the book of Revelation, there's a few things that need to happen. And two of them have already happened. Israel needed to be a nation again. The Jews needed to have Jerusalem. And America must cease from being great. In other words, understand this. This is not a pro-Trump message, by the way. In fact, you'll find that out at the end because of some alarming things that are happening. But listen to this. In order for the New World Order to come about, in order for the book of Revelation and the Old Testament prophets to have their fulfillment, America cannot be great again. It cannot be great again. All right? It's all right. We'll live through it. You enter Donald Trump. Donald Trump has a different plan, right? We're going to make America great again. America will have the greatest military. It will continue to have the greatest military. America's economy will be at the top of the world. America will be the most powerful in the political sense. And there's going to be border restrictions that are going to be put into place here in America. So these things bother some people. Why would they bother some people? Again, I'm telling you that America cannot be the great nation it has been in order for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled in the last days. However, I'm going to throw this caveat out there also. It's quite possible that America will be great for a while. We don't know how long the Lord is going to tarry. And we can see great things happen and miracles of all sorts happen. And there could be great revivals that take place and so forth. But understand this. If America turns this corner and becomes this great thing again that competes against the New World Order, it will set back what was coming with the New World Order for many, many, many decades. Understand that both President Bushes, President Clinton, President Barack Obama were all set on pushing the New World Order. Hillary Clinton, should she have become president of the United States, I am convinced, could have quite possibly finished off the whole deal. And again, that might bother some of you, but let me show you some other things. Hillary Clinton has said, amongst others, something to the effect of this: don't let a crisis go to waste in order to bring about changes. She's not the only politician that has said that. You know that? When you look at the immigration issue, there's a much greater immigration issue going on than just people coming across the border, all right? When you look at Agenda 2030, when you look at the globalist plan and you start to read documents coming out of the UN, the intent appears to have a borderless world, or a world that's divided up into 10 regions, by the way, which is also very biblical, Revelation chapter 17, but a borderless world except for the 10 regions. This is something else that happens. When you have borders that are open, like there is in Germany currently, and there have been in France, what you have is a very chaotic situation when you have radical jihadists who are coming across, Certainly some people come from the Islamic world wanting jobs, but there's unfortunately too many that are coming over with a have intent and want to bring about their ideologies and are willing to kill people in order to bring about their ideologies and subject people to radical Islamic rule and bringing about the caliphate, which is the intent. So this isn't so much about people just coming across the border. It's about creating a chaotic system, I believe, create like you have in Germany. Why would Germany not close their borders with all the problems they have with radical jihadists? The same thing with France. I believe it has more to do with the chaos and bringing about the New World Order. Check this out. And to show you, it's not just a Democrat thing. It's Democrats and Republicans. President Bush said, September 11, 1990, said, out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order can emerge, a new era. And Republican John McCain, speaking at the Brussels Forum, warned in March of 2017, and it appears he warned this because of challenges that him and Trump do not get along at all, said the new world order is under tremendous strain. So understand this. I believe this is not a Democrat thing or a Republican thing. There are Democrats that are for it. There are many Republicans that are all for the New World Order. The major media outlets are all for the New World Order. We're watching in Washington. We're watching in the politics in California. We are watching it in the politics in Europe. We are watching it with the mass media. The Bible is very clear. There's a New World Order that is coming, and so is the Antichrist. It is coming out of Europe, and America must cease to be the great nation that it has been. Now, I know that might bother some of you, but I warned you this morning. I will present facts, but I know what the Bible says at the same time. I would much rather have you be well-informed and prepared to be able to make sense of what is going on, and I believe in our next few minutes together, it will begin to make more and more sense. Listen, when you understand the Bible, you don't have to be fearful, but you can be faithful. It can properly strengthen your faith when you properly understand what the Bible says and what is going on. But regarding America, I believe that the end of free speech is coming. It happens with any type of government that's going to take over the people. You got to start controlling the speech. It happened in Nazi Germany, happened in other nations and other leaderships in times past. As we know free speech, the end of free speech is coming. I believe that we are staring this thing in the mouth, and it's a beast that's ready to swallow us up. Here's the thing. You can say anything you want to say, but it's coming to the point where you can say anything you want to say as long as the right people agree with what you're saying. As long as the right people aren't offended by what you say, then you have free speech. Think of the days of Hitler. I mentioned that this morning. In the days of Hitler, a pastor could say anything he wanted as long as he agreed with Hitler. If you didn't, then you're going to be arrested. A statement has been attributed to George Orwell. I don't know if George Orwell actually said it, but it seems to signal the era that we are entering. The statement says this: during the times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. So we've witnessed what has happened up at UC Berkeley, which seems to be a beacon for other universities in the United States of America, shutting down people who don't agree with what you want to hear, right? Guest speakers coming in to talk. But think of this with the shutting down of free speech. Media censorship in China, yeah, it's obviously been going on for a while. I'm sure you can figure that out, right? Here's this from the Gatestone Institute. European Union declares war on internet free speech. That's from way back in 2016, June 3. That's a year ago. Right? So this the idea is fake news. And it's controlling any kind of news that's out there that doesn't go along, I'm convinced, with the global mandate to bring about this global world order. Here in the United States, Facebook begins flagging disputed fake news. So who determines what fake news is? The people that don't agree with what you are saying if it doesn't go along with whatever global movement is taking place. We also have the imploding of the kingdom. Now listen carefully, all right? I believe we've got trouble. There's in an upcoming book that I hope to release soon in regards to whether or not God will judge America. And I mentioned some hard things, but a couple of them, real straightforward. I state that God will judge America because this nation has made and is making the real and conscious choice to turn from good and to evil, to turn from God and turn to evil. Listen, when you turn from good, you can only go towards evil. You can't go from good and turn to good, right? When you turn from evil, it's like repentance. You make a U-turn. When you turn from evil, you turn to good. It seems as a mass, and not everybody, but this mass movement of turning from all things good and all things God away from all things good and all things God, and that's only going to take you one other direction. It's going to take you to all things bad and all things that are not God. And Jesus is very clear. Either you're for me or against me. He also says, man, if God is not your father is Satan. So if you're turning from God, guess where you're turning to? Even if you can't admit it. So it appears that this nation is going that way. And also I want to say this. God will judge America for treating children as disposable. Now before we go here, I want you to understand something, all right? I'm talking about abortion for a minute. But understand this. If you are a woman that's had an abortion, God loves you, okay? He loves you, and there's forgiveness. There's a dear friend of ours who had two abortions, and she came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and now she has a ministry set up just to reach out to young girls who are pregnant that they might not have an abortion. And what a blessing she has been in our life. But I look at that, and please understand, there is always hope. And if you're a man that has put a woman in that position, ask God to forgive you. And you need to go to that woman and ask her to forgive you too. And understand, listen, God loves you, all right? But I'm going to say some things that are very clear. But again, if you ask God to forgive you, He forgives you, all right? So think of this. These are the words that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Right? In that same conversation that Jesus is having, He says, it would be better if a millstone were hung around a person's neck and he were thrown into the bottom of the sea than to harm one of these little children. Okay? That's pretty radical. You know what a millstone is? It's this massive stone that's used to crush grain or crush olives in the millwork. It's big stone. I've seen them. They're heavy. So imagine with me a disaster. Completely wiping out the populations of some of America's largest cities. Let's say the disaster killed everyone. Think of this. In New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, Philadelphia, Phoenix, San Antonio, San Diego, Dallas, San Jose, Austin, Jacksonville, San Francisco, Indianapolis, Columbus, Detroit, and Seattle. That is a lot of people. Combined, that is a lot of people. But do you know that's only half of the people that have been killed by abortion since 1973? You start putting it into numbers like that, and you start to realize that we have problems. This is very disturbing. Because you add to this the words of the current head of the Democratic National Committee, Chairman Tom Perez, in April of 2017, which wasn't that long ago. He vowed to only support candidates who back a woman's right to choose, meaning he vowed to only support a candidate if they support abortion. Meaning, understand this, there's no room for God's gift of life in American politics, courtrooms, schools, Washington, D.C., and middle America. America has turned. Do you understand this? Where we are, does it make sense? Look, I'm not trying to be mean, but I you know if you come to this church, you're going to get truth, you're going to get facts. Listen, folks, sometimes the truth hurts. But, you know, we go on and on about issues, but God judged Israel for much less than this. And with all the accusations that are going on in the media and in Washington, we are a country that is divided against itself. I remember when the last George Bush was elected president, and I think it was Al Gore and the Hanging Chad. How many of you are old enough to remember that election and how divided the country has been? And then you have the next election with Barack Obama, then the next election. Now we're here where we are now. Folks, what we are witnessing now is hard for me to really wrap my mind around. Jesus said, a house divided can't stand. And and I look at America, I'm going to tell you, I'm praying and I'm hoping for a miracle. Because we need it. Does this make sense? Are you getting concerned? Listen, we should be. We should be praying. I hope you're praying. I found myself praying a whole lot more about our country over the last week than I ever prayed before. And I just really am really concerned about everything I see. What else do we have? Well, there will be a kingdom in Europe will rise. So America is going to decrease. Check this out. The newly elected president of France, Macron or Macron, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. I'm not from France, I don't know. But he nixes the French national anthem and walks out to the EU song after win and says, I will defend Europe. Now, for some of you, you might not think that's a big deal. For me, understanding Bible prophecy, this is an enormous thing. The newly elected president of France is saying, I am about a new world order. I am about a global government. Understand this. Daniel chapter 9 is very clear that in the last days, there is a leader that's going to rise up out of a revived Roman Empire. That leader is going to be the Antichrist. Now, I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. Don't get me wrong there. I'm just saying there's going to be this global movement. It's going to be headed by a revived Roman Empire. So think Europe when you're thinking these things. But it's going to be this globalist thing. This is a reason why America must decrease. Because it's going to rise up out of Europe. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar the king had a dream. In his dream, he sees this statue, and Daniel goes through the statue with him and tells him what it is. And then he sees the head and the chest and the everything all the way down to his legs. The legs are iron, representing the Roman Empire. And then he looks at the feet. The feet are partly iron and partly clay, and they've got their 10 toes. The feet represented the revived Roman Empire at the last day. Partly clay, partly iron. Why is that with the 10 toes? Is because the kingdom that's coming with the 10 elite rulers is going to be partly strong and partly weak. I don't know what's going to happen with the European Union. I really don't know that. But I'm absolutely convinced that the Bible is right. And because I believe the Bible is right, I can surmise that what is going to happen is there's a global movement that is going to continue to rise and get stronger and stronger and stronger. The United States will continue to decrease. And this global movement where Europe is going to become stronger, Europe will become stronger, partly iron, but it's also still going to be weak. Because Europe has a whole lot of problems, and they are going to continue to have problems right up, including the time of the rise of the Antichrist. In fact, the Antichrist kingdom, it only lasts 7 years. The United States has been around well over 200 years. The Roman Empire, hundreds of years. You look at the Britain Empire, you look at Egypt, and so forth. The Antichrist kingdom is only going to be around for 7 years. It's going to be partly strong and partly weak. So out of a very weak connection in Europe is going to rise this whole mess. But I look at this also and understand with him, he's a globalist. He's an absolute globalist. But when Brexit happened in the UK, and that was exiting out of the European Union, right? Brexit. I looked at that, me as saying, okay, this, you can start to see the collapse of the European Union. Then you start hearing about France and Marie Le Pen, or people are saying she might win France, which means France will exit out of the European Union. All right, this guy comes along. He easily beats Marie Le Pen. France is not exiting the European Union. In fact, I texted my friends, Don Stewart, Barry Stagner, and James Cadiz. I texted them all the same thing, and I essentially said this. I said, when Macron won, whatever his name is, however you pronounce it, I said, I believe what's going to happen now is the United States is going to be totally isolated. And you aren't going to see America become great again, because Trump is not going to have a power base to help support him anymore. And with Europe going this direction, this is going to embolden all of Europe. It's going to embolden all of the globalists, and we are going to watch the current administration become isolated. That's my belief. I might be absolutely wrong about it, but I'm concerned that I'm right just because of what I read in the Bible, all right? Now, this morning I warned you. Didn't I not warn you I was going to say things tonight that I don't normally say? I don't normally like to go out on a limb like this because if I'm wrong in 6 months, you'll say, aha, you were wrong. You don't know what you're talking about at all, you knucklehead. Here, I'm going to read this to you, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. You could put America in here. For men will be lovers of themselves. Let me put it this way. For Americans will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors. I mean, who's a traitor? You turn on the news, everybody's a traitor, right? This side calls this side traitors, right? Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. Having a form of godliness, people say, man, I still go to church, but this Bible stuff, you got to be kidding me, right? So we read that. I mean, you can see perilous times, but unfortunately, this is speaking of the times that are still to come. That means things will get much more perilous. I'm hoping after the rapture. That's my hope, but still at the same time, I'm very concerned too, because there's people on this planet that I love that don't know Christ yet. And I don't want to see them go through these things. I look at this, I know this, the kingdom of Antichrist is coming, but more important, the kingdom of the Messiah is coming. But when we understand these things in the right perspective, when you understand the Bible actually told us these things ahead of time so we wouldn't be too far knocked off our rocker, right? We'd be able to stand strong and say, okay, these things are coming. We can understand this, that things are not falling apart, but they are falling into place. What's happening in Israel and why does it matter? Well, note first, this is a must. Israel is in the land and the Jews have Jerusalem. In 1948, the Jews had Jerusalem again. So the Jews had Israel again as a nation. UN recognized Israel as a nation again. 1948. In 2018, that'll be 70 years. And next week is the celebration of the anniversary of when the Jews captured Jerusalem in 1967 in the Six-Day War. And that'll be 50 years in Jerusalem. Now, Moshe Dayan gave up the controlling authority over to the Jordanians for the Temple Mount itself that's in Jerusalem. But you can see, when you go to Jerusalem, you can see the bullet holes in the side of the buildings and stuff. And you go over there, it's just the craziest thing from the 1967 war. But nevertheless, let's go on a little trip through the 1967 war, or through the history of Israel. So there's the Balfour Declaration from 1917, Lord Balfour, and you have the British mandate to give Israel, see how much land? That's what Israel was given. See all that part that's in blue? Okay, that's a lot more land than Israel currently has, right? A lot more land. So 1917 to 1922, Lord Balfour says, there's the land for the Jews. He was honoring Chaim Weizmann, who invented the a way to be able to defeat the enemy faster. But that didn't work out so well. And then in 1923 to 1947, Israel, well, their land was cut down. Now you have Transjordan. So Jordan, you have this area that was created. Israel's land is a lot smaller. And you actually look what they actually had. The Jewish part is the orange, right? And the yellow part, this is the whole 1947 thing. The yellow part was for the Arab states, okay? Then you have the war that comes along in 1948. So Israel is deemed a nation May 14th, 1948. A few hours later, they are attacked from pretty much everybody. But Israel actually gains some of that yellow land. And so then you have this area. You can see the red part with the yellow dots. That's the West Bank after the 1948 war, controlled by the Jordanians. And then you have the Gaza part that's down there by Egypt. So you see those two areas after the 1948 war, right? So you fast forward from the 1948 war. What happens? Israel takes over everything. You have all these nations. See all those arrows? These are all the different peoples that came against Israel in 1967. But what happened is Israel pretty much took over everything. The Golan Heights, the West Bank, the area of Gaza. However, Israel has still been in an agreement with the UN. We want to get along with everybody. So although we own all the land, They tried to kill us. They tried to knock us to the sea. We took all their land. God has blessed us. They're in this battle over those parts that are in the white within the Israeli territories. Now I'm going to put this into a little bit more of a perspective for you, all right? It should be remembered that in 1918, with the fall of the Ottoman Empire, Britain and France were handed more than 5 million square miles to divvy up, and 99% of the land was given to Arabs to create countries that did not exist previously. Less than 1% was given as a mandate for the reestablishment of a state for the Jews on both banks of the Jordan River. In 1921, remember the big picture I showed you of Israel that included the whole blue area, the Transjordan, the whole bat? In 1921, to appease the Arabs once again, another 3/4 of that less than 1% was given to the fictitious state called Transjordan. So I look at this and I think, man, this whole thing to me is kind of crazy. But nevertheless, we're living in days when the Jews are gathered back to the land again. Here's the thing. Keep this in mind. God made a covenant with Abram, right? Book of Genesis. It's a one-sided covenant. It was unconditional. God made the covenant with Abraham when Abraham was asleep, because he knew that Abraham and the Jews couldn't keep up their part of the bargain. And God promised that he would disperse Israel to the nations of the world in the book of Deuteronomy if they were disobedient to his law. And the Jews became disobedient to the law. You have the great diaspora that's taken place throughout the centuries. However, the great dispersion to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, as Jews were spread literally throughout the world. There are Jews in China. There's Jews in Africa. There's Jews all over Europe. There's Jews in America. There are Jews everywhere in the world. There's Russian Jews. There's South American Jews. God dispersed them to all four corners of the earth, throughout the entire world, because of their disobedience. However, God would gather them back in the last days because of His name and the covenant that He made with them. So understand this. Because of His name, understand this. Regardless of the wars that Israel is faced with, God will not let Israel lose these wars or lose their land because His name is on it. They can lose a battle here and lose a battle there. Don't misunderstand me. But they are planted in the land. The Bible tells us, Amos chapter 9, NIV version, God says, I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord God. 1948, Israel is a nation again. The Jews are planted in the land. And the Jews are continuing to return from the four corners of the earth, exactly as God prophesied they would in the latter days, from all four corners of the earth. But here is why. Listen to this. Ezekiel chapter 36. Let me read this to you, beginning of verse 17. The word of the Lord came to me, says Ezekiel, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defied it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. You guys know what that means, right? I'm not going to go into any definitions. Therefore, I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for their idols with which they had defiled it. So I scattered Israel among the nations. If they were dispersed throughout the countries, I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of His land. God says, but I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. But you look at it, God says, wherever you've gone, you've profaned my name, but my name is on this covenant that I had. And He says, I will sanctify my great name, which you have profaned among the nations. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Speaking of the land of Israel. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean. I will cleanse you from your filthiness and from all of your gods. And he's talking about there is going to be a physical rebirth of the Jews in the land of Israel. And then he goes on and he explains that there will eventually become a spiritual rebirth of the Jews that have returned to the land of Israel. So I look at this and I think, you know, what we are witnessing with the nation of Israel is the Bible coming to life. What else do we know is that anti-Semitism will be a big deal in the last days. France is a hotbed of anti-Semitism. A couple of years ago, French Jews were leaving in droves to go back to the land of, or go to the land of Israel as God was drawing them back to their homeland. I told my friends the other day also, when I look at the election that just took place in France, the current president, he's not friendly to Jews. And I said, man, if I was a Jew living in France, I would want to get out of there as fast as I possibly can. But I look at anti-Semitism. I believe it's going to increase in America. I believe it's been increasing in America, but Donald Trump has all the attention right now. But it's increasing. It's going to continue to increase because I know this is what the Bible says. This is some of the worst news you've ever heard in church before, isn't it? But you know what? it's the truth. All right? Understand this. Two. You know what the BDS movement is? I'll be done in 5 minutes. Can you give me 5 more minutes? You want some more bad news for 5 more minutes? How about 6 minutes? Do I have 7 minutes? I was like, no. Look, I'm going to get done quick. You know what the BDS movement is? Boycott, divest, and sanction. You know what that is? Boycott, divest, and sanction. So anything coming from Israel, any product or anything, right? It's a huge thing in a lot of the areas of Europe. It's a huge thing in certain places in America. Not with our government yet, praise the Lord, but with churches. Check this out. Here's a list of churches. The Presbyterian Church USA, main article, current controversies regarding the present Presbyterian Church, World Council of Churches, United Church of Christ, United Methodist Church, Episcopal Church, United Methodist Church. They're listed there twice. But these are churches that are supporting the BDS movement. In other words, they are not supporting the Jews' right to the land of Israel. And it's a replacement theology saying the Jews don't have any right to the land of Israel. And the Jews are really exercising, they're an apartheid state against the Palestinian people. The whole thing is just crazy, especially if you look at the truth of what's really going on there. But churches are buying into this, which is very scary. I think this is the last thing I have for you. An attempt to bring peace in Jerusalem. All right. Donald Trump wants to bring peace in Jerusalem, right? Right? Okay, so let's look at this. 4 pictures. White House removes video that gutted Israel. You hear about that video? Israel's been removed from the land. The video's been all over the place. So under Trump's administration, they got rid of that video that eliminated Israel. That's a praise report, right? And then Trump publishes a proper map of Israel. So that's all good, right? Now I want you to look at this. This is good. Trump supporting Israel. Check this out. Now Trump to Muslim world. If 3 faiths join, Israeli-Palestinian peace is possible. In other words, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, right? You know, on the surface, that's fine. Dan, it sounds fine. You know, they're not asking... I'm not being asked to convert to Islam or whatever, right? But it's a why can't we all get along? If we can work this out. Remember, Trump is the great deal maker, right? Now check this one out. Trump to Abbas, I will do whatever is necessary to broker Middle East peace. Because what's this mean? I'm going to tell you what it means. Daniel chapter 9 says there's going to be a covenant with many, right? So Donald Trump is meeting with many people to bring about this peace agreement. There's going to be a covenant with many that the Antichrist is going to confirm. Is Pastor Tom saying Donald Trump is the Antichrist? No, that's not what I'm saying. All right? I didn't say the guy in France is. I'm not saying the guy in America is. All right? But understand that Daniel says it'll be a covenant with many that the Antichrist does usher in. He's able to confirm that covenant with many. Isaiah chapter 28 tells us that it is a covenant with death. So I look at the covenant or the attempt at peace in the Middle East that Trump is attempting to do. Understand this. He is attempting to do essentially the same thing that the Bushes before him attempted, that Clinton attempted, that Barack Obama attempted, and Trump is attempting the same thing. You want to know what it is? It's to divide the land of Jerusalem. This is a real problem. I don't think Donald Trump understands all the ramifications of dividing the land of Jerusalem, but in his administration, he has some Jews that understand, no, there's only a one-state solution, and he has other Jews that are influencing him, says, no, it's a two-state solution, you must divide the land of Jerusalem. It's a problem. It's a huge problem. Why is that? Because the Bible tells us this in Joel chapter 3. God says, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. Wow. So I'm looking at things going, man, I got to wonder, is there any hope for Israel? Yes, there is. Because God has a covenant with them, and his name is on that covenant. There will be a tribulation that's going to come. But there's hope for Israel. Is there any hope for America?